I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
When we're going to talk New York Giants football, we bring in one of our regulars. He's Jerry Foley, the Giant Insider in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia as we look ahead to Sunday's matchup at MetLife. Jerry, how are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jerry, good to catch up with you. A week one loss at Dallas. What were the reasons why would you say that the Giants did not come out on top in the opener?
Well, there were a bunch of reasons, but the biggest one is there is absolutely zero pass rush. And the secondary, look, they're young, right? I think most Giants fans can handle a guy like DeAndre Baker getting beat and taking his lumps. But there was complete mayhem. They didn't know who had the tight end. I mean, you just have to line up at tight end, apparently, against the Giants, and you'll score, you know, at least three touchdowns a game again. The miscommunication was astounding. I thought on offense, the running game was very good, but for some reason, Shermer got away from it. And, look, the line protected, but Eli didn't take any chances down the field. So, number of reasons, just completely outclassed by the Cowboys. And, the main culprit, I would say, was the defense.
Jerry, when we talk about the offense and Saquon Barkley, I mean, if you assume rational coaching, I would imagine Leslie Frazier is licking his chops saying, all right, we're just going to eliminate Saquon Barkley and try to focus on him and let Eli and that banged up receiving core now with Sterling Shepard potentially being out beat us. First of all, what's the status on Shepard? Do we know anything new about his, is he in concussion protocol? And what about that game plan of just stopping Saquon Barkley and, you know, good luck with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to play. He's in concussion protocol. He is very likely out. That means the starters are going to be Latimer and Benny Fowler. And then you're going to have, I don't know why they wouldn't go to Saquon Barkley and just kind of run him as much as they can. I know they don't want to run him into the ground, but at the same time, he's your best option to get from one side of the field to the other. I mean, if I'm the Bills, I focus on Saquon Barkley, but you know, Shermer inexplicably got away from that last Sunday, and it didn't make any sense. Again, with the line improved and the talent that Barkley is, I would think the Giants would rely heavily on that against the Bills, and he wouldn't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, our guest, Jerry Foley. Jerry, I would suppose while you're focused on the Giants game, you're not necessarily picking up on the Jets, but the Jets did get four takeaways, and somehow they lost that game.
I watched that whole game.
Okay, so. Okay. So your thoughts on that? I mean, in Josh Allen did some good things, but you can't be running the ball like that and turning it over. So, your thoughts on the potential for the Giants to do the same thing on defense?
Oh man, I mean, Allen gave it away, right? Stumbled twice and then threw some horrible interceptions. Be more careful this week. What I was impressed with Josh Allen was that he turned it on in the fourth quarter the way he did. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Kerry Collins with mobility, but Kerry Collins, once he was off the game, he was off the entire game. So it was good. It was good for you guys to see that Josh Allen can turn it on and actually make something of a bad game that he's having. I thought he was off very early, but he was very good in the fourth quarter. I think obviously the Giants will try and do that, but look, man, Josh Allen's a mobile quarterback, and mobile quarterbacks give the Giants fits. And I don't know if it's because they don't see it in practice with Eli, but Dak Prescott just gained 5-6 yards at will. So they're going to have to contain Josh Allen. If he drops back and nobody's open, based on how the performance in Dallas, people will be open. But yeah, they're going to have some type of spy on him because he can absolutely kill the Giants with his legs.
Jerry, talk about that Giants offensive line. We know that the Bills were able to get some pressure on Sam Darnold and wreak a little bit of havoc there in the Jets' backfield in week one. You mentioned that they were able to protect against a formidable Dallas defense. If all things are equal and Dallas's defense is on par with Buffalo's defense, what makes the Giants' offensive line a strength on that team?
Well, they got Jalapeno back at center, and he had a very good game, right? So he's an upgrade over Spencer Foley. Will Hernandez is in his second year. He played very well. Nate Solder's more comfortable now being there a year. You know, the addition of Kevin Zeitler was incredible. Right? Your guy's a great, great guard, one of the pass blocking guards in the league. And then you had Mike Remmers, who's a huge upgrade over Chad Wheeler. So the talent, based on experience and based on guys they brought in, is so much better than it was a year ago. With McDermott, and why the Bills may give the Giants trouble are the blitzes, the exotic blitzes, the Jim Johnson-style blitzes, where maybe I would imagine Saquon Barkley and Elijah Penny can pick them up, but Eli's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, especially if they're, you know, if he's anything like his the Jedi Master, Jim Johnson. McDermott's going to send a lot at Eli, so going to have to make quick decisions, pick up the hot read, and get rid of the ball. But the line itself, the Giants' line, is vastly improved from last year and was really a highlight of the game on Sunday.
Well, I mean, with that improved line, are we getting a rebirth here of Eli? I might be getting ahead of myself, but where are we at here week two in the career of Eli Manning, Jerry?
Yeah, the issue, guys, is, look, he's got the arm. I saw it in practice, but he does not take chances down the field. He didn't take nearly enough chances against Dallas. So, you know, the offensive line, if you had to grade them out, you give them an A for the run blocking and pass blocking. Manning was sacked once, and it was on a rollout, right? DeMarcus Lawrence only got to him one time because Manning ran right into him. But Manning is not taking the chances down the field, so I think it's all in his head. I think, look, if they lose Sunday, and I'm like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the boos are going to be loud. And the transfer to Jones, I think we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
They're going to hand over the keys to Jones sooner than people think. That's my opinion. Eli Manning still has it physically. It's just mentally from the beatings he's taken. I don't know if he's willing to stand in there and take the shots and rifle the ball down the field. He got 300 yards, but about 120 of it was complete garbage time.
He's Jerry Foley, the Giant Insider, our guest in the Sports Bar Danger and Battaglia as we preview the Bills and the Giants Sunday, a game you'll be able to hear on ESPN Rochester with pregame starting at 9. Let's talk about that a little bit more. You're right, Jerry. The last time we had you on, we were looking at that schedule, and I think we said, hey, look, if the Bills beat the Giants and Eli doesn't perform in that game, that would be the time where I think a lot of fans would say, what are you waiting for? You just lost to the Bills. What do you have to lose? Go ahead and put Daniel Jones in there, and we were able to see him during garbage time late in that Cowboys game. What was your overall impression of Daniel Jones from the preseason, and how realistic is that take?
I think it's very realistic, and I think here's why, because the next two games are the Buccaneers and Redskins. And if you wait too long, then you get the Vikings, and I forget who they get in week six. You don't want to make the change of the Vikings. The Vikings defense will kill them. So otherwise, you're going to have to wait till week 7, 8, 9, whatever it is, so they get some easier opponents. I think after week 5, I think the Patriots week 6. So if you don't make the change now, you're going to have to wait a bit, I think. My prediction, all along has been if Josh Allen comes in week 2 and Manning looks average to below average and Allen's flinging the ball down the field, making plays with his legs, you know, Giant fans are going to be like, no, this is what I want. We need a quarterback who's going to make plays with his legs and not be afraid to throw the ball down the field and make plays. So I still stand by it, man. I think if the Giants struggle and Manning struggles, I think you could see a change much sooner than later. As far as how Daniel Jones looks, he's done everything he's been asked. He's checked all the boxes so far. You know, he fumbled Sunday, and that's kind of concerning because he's fumbled a little bit in the preseason. So ball security is an issue with him. I think he'll learn that. I think he'll learn to tuck it away a little better. But look, man, even on the one rollout he did, I just watched it. I just thought, wow. To see an athletic quarterback able to roll out like that, that's something I haven't seen since, I don't know, Jeff Hostetler maybe. So.
Talking to Jerry Foley, he's the editor of the Giant Insider. You know, we talked to you right after the draft, Jerry, and you could feel from the fan base, just the, and probably was just a byproduct of why at number 6 with Josh Allen on the board, why couldn't you draft? But we've seen Chicago kind of come around with Trubisky. Of course, not a good opening game. We've seen the Buffalo fan base, who was not at all happy when Josh Allen was drafted, kind of come around. Are we seeing the Giant fan base now kind of come to accept here and get behind the rookie quarterback?
Yeah, and I think, guys, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, the vitriol towards the Giants for taking him at six kind of made the Giants fans say, oh, you know what, everyone's against them? Okay, we're going to pull for this kid now. You're one of us now. You're with us. And I think that happened over the course of a few weeks after the draft, and then minicamp happened, and he looked pretty good. Then you see him in preseason, and you think, wow, this kid's really good. I know they're giving him generic defenses, not seeing too much, but he's got some zip on the ball. His arm is stronger than advertised. And now you couple that with, you know, Eli Manning not being what everybody kind of hoped he was this year. And, again, it's one game, but I saw some bad habits already. I saw him not, like I said, man, he's not throwing the ball when he should. Sterling Shepard was open in the end zone. He didn't take a chance. On the rollout, he could have hit the tight end. He didn't. So I think Giant fans have done a complete 180, and it's for those reasons. I think they want to see the kid play.
Jerry, you know what? You mentioned the offensive line and how vastly improved it is from last year. You talk about them taking the risk in the first round with Daniel Jones and drafting him high. Are the Giants, I mean, is this the rebuilding year? Is it a realistic expectation for a Giant fan to say, you know what, this is probably year two of the rebuild, and year three is really, under Dave Gettleman, is really the year that you should judge this team based on their wins and losses and their success?
Yeah, it's a great point, man. I think it's 100% accurate. Next year, they're going to have anywhere between $70 and $100 million in cap space to spend. You're going to have eight or so more picks if you count the loss of Landon Collins, probably a third-round pick for him. So they're going to have another draft to go through. I think most Giants fans looked at this year as a 6-10, 7-9 team. They just wanted to see improvement. Some of the things we saw Sunday were alarming, the fact that, you know, the defense looked disorganized and Shermer made some weird play calls in that game. But yeah, I think every Giant fan realistically is looking at 2020 as the year, like, look, we can get to the playoffs next year, which is all the more reason they should probably play Daniel Jones sooner than later, get him some experience and kind of hand the keys of the franchise over to him next year.
Jerry, as far as if you want to watch the Jets on Monday night, you can. I mean, for a team that's not in your division, not in your conference, I'm not talking about the Jets. I'm talking about the Browns and the quarterback who had some things to say about Giant fans, the wide receiver that obviously is no longer part. Your thoughts on Baker Mayfield and his decision to kind of call out Daniel Jones?
He's an idiot. I mean, we knew this when he came out. He wasn't too bright. I joke that, you know, for someone who criticized Daniel Jones, he didn't run from that police officer very quickly. I mean, the cop caught him pretty quickly on that tape. And then you see Odell, what he did with the watch. It's like, thank God he's not our problem anymore. You know, he's still a great player, but all the peripheral issues, as Parcells said, that seems to kind of take hold over guys like that. And let the Browns deal with that distraction. I'll watch it Monday night and I'll see what happens, but it would not surprise me if that team went 6-10. And that was the thing with the Browns. You just thought, you know, they could be very good, very explosive, or they can just completely implode. And Tennessee came in and slapped them around. And that now already, Odell is a distraction with his stupidity, wearing the watch. And he said he's going to wear it again. And good for them. He's your problem. Thanks for the draft picks. Thanks for Jabril Peppers. I think it'll work out in the long run. And, yeah, kind of good riddance. Well, and Baker Mayfield, you know, we're very happy with Daniel Jones. We, you know, if he wants to be an analyst, he can join, you know, ESPN or NFL Network when he's done playing.
Jerry, with Odell and the watch. I mean, listen, this is the NFL now. Odell's wearing the watch. I mean, this is the first step. He's just trying to work his way out of Cleveland, right? I mean, this is the kind of behavior that a wide receiver can display if they want to go to a different team that they actually want to play for.
It's amazing. I mean, that's what a precedent Antonio Brown has set, right? If you just want to throw a temper tantrum and be a moron and basically have a whole social media, I don't know, company basically is what he has. He's got running there. You can get your way out of town, and that's the NFL now. That's the athletes today. So maybe that's what Odell's doing. Maybe he sees the writing on the wall and says, you know what, I want to go play in L.A. or, as he said in the interview last year, somewhere warm. So maybe that's the first step to do that.
Jerry, the perspective up here, and you're going to get people, and you'll get the Buffalo Bills, what would have happened, you know, that you're talking about, my opinion, the greatest Super Bowl ever, and didn't go Buffalo's way. Was that the best moment in Giants history, or was it the first championship in the Super Bowl era over the Broncos, would you say?
For the for those fans who suffered in what they call the wilderness years, from 64 to 80, Giant fans will tell you the 86 Super Bowl was the greatest Super Bowl. For me, I was born in 74. I got the tail end of those awful years, but my memory is Lawrence Taylor. My greatest memory was beating the 18-0 Patriots. And
yeah.
I think the as far as moments go, yeah, that was incredible. But that Bills team was better than the Giants, right? And the Patriots team was better than the Giants in 2007. I think most realistic Giant fans would admit that. I think in 86, the Giants were the best team in the league. And I also, I think in 2008, before Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg, I thought they were the best team in the league. But yeah, I think that the Bills Super Bowl probably ranked top three or four as far as all-time moments in Giants history. Unfortunately for you guys, I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I just mean it was incredible. I remember watching that game, and you know, I was in high school at the time. At the time, it was the greatest moment, but you know, 2007 beating the Patriots, man, that's going to be tough to beat ever.
Jerry, we appreciate your time as always. If there are listeners checking us out right now that want to scout and learn more about the Giant Insider, how can they read your work?
Sure. Go to www.thegiantinsider.com to order a subscription. Go to magzter.com, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R, for a digital subscription. And then you'll see the paper copy at the Wegmans and the Wawa's in the area. We
need Wawa. We got to get Wawa's.
Right,
in our... Yeah, we need Wawa. I'm a fan of Wawa. I, truth be told, probably a bigger fan of Sheetz, but we could use either one of those or both of them in our area. I would take them.
Yeah, Wawa's awesome. And then also we have a Twitter account at Giant Insider and a podcast, Giant Insider Podcast. So.
Jerry, appreciate your time. You're the best. Enjoy this Sunday's. Oh, big, quick prediction. What do you think here?
Bills win a close one over the Giants. The Giants are just not. I don't think they're ready to rebound from that. I just think they're too young, and I think there's too many flaws with them right now. I can see the Bills coming in and winning another close one this week.
Jerry, appreciate your time, man.
All right, guys, thanks for having me, man.
You got to talk to you soon, Jerry Foley. He is the Giant Insider. Follow him on Twitter at the Giant Insider.
Yeah, and I love writers like that that are accessible. And if you follow him on social media, yeah, he'll you have a take on the Giants, he'll respond. So. That's kind of interesting, you know, that I have so much respect for Giant fans because that's an organization that's had its ups and its downs, but it's certainly one of the franchises you can kind of come to respect. Some franchises hard to respect in the NFL. The Giants are one that
it's funny, you know what? You could look at what the Giants have been doing ever since Dave Gettleman kind of took over the organization and say, what are they thinking? There's a lot of personnel moves that they made here. It's like, hearing Jerry say that the offensive line is improved as much as it has, well, that just leads me to believe that they're building. And they're building from the inside out the way smart organizations do. They already believe that they have their future franchise quarterback in Daniel Jones. Whether they're right or wrong remains to be seen, but at least they've protected him with an offensive line this year and next that will be better than what they've had in years past.
I think with Gettleman, it's an issue of bedside manner. You know, he's not going to kiss up to the New York media. He had enemies down in Charlotte, of all places. But it's the end result, and like you said, and by the way, I'm gonna trade away one of the most popular players in the history of the franchise, and you know, upset the younger portion of our fan base here. Because it was interesting how Odell Beckham Jr., if you were a millennial, you probably hated that move. Gen X and above, okay, yeah, it was time to move on from that guy. But the story about Gettleman, to me, is he doesn't care what you think. All right, if he did, he'd go crazy reading his own columns against him the way he's going about it. So, sure, number six was a little high to take Daniel Jones. But in the end, if he ends up being a franchise quarterback, who cares? Yeah, you got him there, and so be it.
We get to NFL appetizers next at the sports bar. The NFL's top stories of the day in bite-sized form, brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
You know, last night was so much fun. It had a little bit of everything, including bad officiating.
Oh,
yes, in New Orleans. Yes, making those fans angry.
Those Saints fans, they just think the world is against them. And you know what? We'd be if they lost...
That's all we'd be talking
That's
about.
All we would be talking about today, because winning cures everything. We're not really talking about the huge officiating gaffe at the end of the first half of game one of last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader. We'll recap that and let you know the fallout from game two as well. If you stayed up for game two, I think a little bit of a surprise to see Oakland show up the way they did.
Yeah, and why in Oakland something is going... I'm not just talking about the Raiders themselves, but something you won't see in the NFL will quickly disappear.
And if you're not good enough to make the Miami Dolphins roster, and you're still getting picked up by a team in week two, your offensive line might need some help.
It's a bad sign.
A former Buffalo Bill found a new home. We'll let you know where Jordan Mills has landed with NFL appetizers. It's on the way next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League. ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.